Our friends, good morning again. Great to be with you. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors here at St. John's. If you're new here, it's great to have you with us. You're joining us at the start of a small sermon series, just 5 weeks, that we've called The Family of God. We're going to be thinking about the different relationships that we can be in, and not just how to go well in those relationships, but actually, more importantly, how the gospel of what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, how it's described in the language of those relationships. We'll have an example in just a moment in terms of our first sermon here. So that's what we're looking at over these next 5 weeks. We're going to think about fatherhood, motherhood, marriage, being a child. And then at the end, we're also going to think about adoption as well, and think about how the gospel is framed in those terms too. Much for us to learn, and much for us to learn, even if you're not a father, huge amounts for us to be thinking about today as we gather together. Will you pray with me? We'll ask for God's help to understand his word. Let's pray. Father, we ask this morning that you'd help us understand what it actually means for you to be Father and how that shapes the way you have loved us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to understand you more and therefore to understand the gospel, the glorious way in which you have treated us and therefore how we ought to live. And we pray this in Jesus' great name. Amen. Well, friends, if you want to follow an outline, there's one on our little church app. There'll be headings coming up on the screen. It's a help as well, of course, if you have your Bible with you opened up, maybe at Ephesians 3 and Luke 11 that were read to us. As you're doing that, let me observe to you that families, I don't know what your experience is, but certainly my observation is that families come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. Even this church family of which I'm the pastor, that is certainly true, isn't it? As you look around the room, you see there are different assumptions about family life. There's different experiences of what it's like. At one time or another, we do get to experience family life in very different ways, both good and bad. So it may be you're here today and you are a father. We may have fathers. We're certainly all children. That hasn't changed. But not everyone, of course, knows their parents or sometimes their children. Some of us are married. Some have been married. Some won't get married. There is a rich variety of ways that we experience family. And over the next 5 weeks, we're going to explore many of them and ask what difference the gospel makes to our understanding and our behavior. And what's going to be exciting, I hope, is to see that there is so much for every one of us to learn, whether or not we find ourselves in the particular relationship that we're discussing. Because the gospel is something that's described often in terms of those relationships. And the gospel, of course, is always something that we need to keep hearing and applying. And the gospel, as we've said, is expressed so many ways in the language of family, of which the most obvious is the place we're starting this week, which is God as Father, God the Father. It is hard, isn't it, to think of a more common way to hear God talked about than as Father. For some, that is a comforting thought. For many of us, our fathers were providers and caregivers, a safe place in an uncertain world. Of course, there are many who have had different experiences, absent fathers, perhaps even cruel fathers, fathers who, for one reason or another, were not who they should have been. And we know such men were not who they should have been because we almost instinctively know what a good father should be like. Now, why is it that we know that instinctively? Well, it's because there is something that's built into who we are as humans, created by God, because our innate sense of what a father should be like comes from God. And that's the point that Paul makes in our second reading this morning. Thanks again, Betsy, for reading. And remember, he writes this, Ephesians 3, verse 14. He says, I bow my knees. He writes to this church in Ephesus. I bow my knees before the Father. And then he describes him this way, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Now you go, well, how does that work? Well, it's actually a little word play that Paul is doing here. He's writing in the Greek. The Greek word father is pater. The word for family he's using is patria, and one derives from the other. So he bows my knees before the pater from whom every patria is named. But there's more even going on than that, because the word that in the English is described as family could be translated more accurately but clearly more clunkily as every father-headed group. Which is it's a weird way of saying it. So we just go, oh, family, because our assumption is that families should be headed by fathers. And that means that every time you see such a gathering, a father-headed group, whether it's a direct biological family or perhaps something that's wider and broader, because the word includes like extended families or clans or even kind of ethnic groups, ethnic nations, they're patria as well. Every time that sense of belonging together and being cared for and governed well by a father figure, as it were, that comes, the apostle tells us, from the very nature of God himself. We instinctively know there's a right way for those things to be done. And as we've mentioned before, that's why we recognize when it's not done well, it's not right. And Paul tells us what sort of governing and caring that should be, because God, he says, is a father who gives, and he gives gloriously. See that in verse 16? He says he's praying that God would give according to the riches of his glory. I don't know about you, I am always struck by really generous people. Now, what do I mean by generous? I mean by people who give the very best of what's dear to them and share it with you. Not just people who give big. Like if you're a billionaire, giving away $1 million is not generosity, is it? No, generosity is when we give of the things that are dearest and most important to us and we share them with others. I will often gladly tell the story of Peter and Virginia, an older couple who invited Jackie and I to join them for Christmas. It was our second year in Australia. Our daughter was not yet 2 years old. Our second one was very much on the way. And we had no other family here in Sydney, but on Christmas Day, we were invited to join Peter and Virginia and their four children, adult children, and the countless grandchildren. And we were not just spectators. We sat amongst them at their Christmas lunch table and feasted with them. And when the presents were handed out by Papa and Nonna, and it was brilliant, it's a tradition I think I might do if ever I'm in the same situation with too many grandchildren to count. Peter lined up his whole family, children and grandchildren, all by height order. It's always a bit telling, isn't it, when some of the children are higher in the order than some of the parents. All in height order, and then every single person in the line, from the smallest up to the biggest, was given a present. He sat there like Father Christmas, with Virginia by him, and shared presents. And as they stood there, Peter turned to me and said, well, what are you doing? Because Jackie and I were just sitting there watching it and enjoying it and loving it. I said, well, yeah, I'm just enjoying it. He said, get in the queue. There's a present for you as well. Peter and Virginia's family were everything to them, the riches of their glory. And they gave generously from it. And God, Paul shows us, is like that. Now, what is it that he gives generously? Well, as we read on in Ephesians, we see that it is the most valuable thing that he can offer. You know what that is, don't you? It's Christ himself. Christ dwelling in our hearts and an ever-growing understanding of just how wonderful what he has done for us in Christ really is. The riches of God's, the Father's glory are Christ and what he's done for us. And God the Father, after whom all fatherhood is named, well, he gives. He gives the most wonderful thing he has. Now, when Jesus himself speaks about human fathers, and we saw that in Luke 11, he makes exactly the same point. First of all, he shows us that God is the Father who gives gladly. And he does it by telling us a story on which we're involved. He says, imagine in the middle of the night, you have to go and wake up your neighbor because your friend, what an idiot, has arrived only at midnight and you've got to feed him. And your neighbor, even though he's tucked up in bed and his children are asleep, your neighbor gets up to help out, not because he's your friend, but because you just keep banging on the door. And at some point he's like, I am so sick and tired of this. Here, have some food. Be gone. Now, the point that Jesus is making is not that that's how we approach God. He's not saying, just keep banging on God's door, and at some point God will go, oh, all right. No, the point he makes is that God is so much better than the neighbor, right? Think about it. If even your sleeping neighbor will help you out begrudgingly, well, what about God the Father who loves you so deeply? He'll answer the door before you've even reached for the bell. And so Jesus says, verse 9, knock and it will be opened to you. God is so much better than us at this. And that's because he is, Jesus goes on to show, he is the Father who gives generously. I love these next few verses from Jesus. They radically challenged me a number of years ago. Some of us as fathers withhold good things from our children. Now, we do that for a number of reasons. I'm not talking about the necessary withholding so you don't spoil your child. I'm not talking about that. But sometimes, you know, we think we're doing our kids a favor, don't you? Don't we? You know, they've got to learn what life is like. It's tough. Or it could be that we just don't know how to do it ourselves because we were never given an example of generous giving by our fathers. We never had a good example. And we learn so much, don't we, from our parents, whether we know that or not. Well, listen to Jesus. Chapter 11, verse 11. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, whose child has lately asked for an egg? Anyway, will give him a scorpion? If you then, catch this, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give? And as I heard those words, it struck me, as I hope it strikes you, that giving good things, and not just to our children, but in general, giving good things is godlike. Jesus tells us to consider how normal fathers give. Our kids ask for food, we don't give them poison. Even we know how to do that, even though we are evil. He's clear with us what we're like. Yes, we're sinners. In so many ways, we do the wrong thing, but we know instinctively what to do for our children. Which why, of course, again, is why we know instinctively when we hear of children not being treated well, as again we did this week in the news. We instinctively know that is wrong. Deeply, deeply wrong. For children are dependent upon us to be cared for. And when the opposite happens, we just know, don't we? It's not right. Again, it's God-given, that sense. You know, even if we can normally get this right, says Jesus, then God, well, how much more will God give? We stumble in our fathering and in our giving more generally. God the Father gives generously. And he gives so well. Because he is, the next thing Jesus shows us, he is the Father who gives the guide. I'm in verse 13 now. Now, what do we want fathers to do for their children? They ought to raise them, right? That is to say, direct them, teach them, show them the right way. Train up a child in the way he should go, says the proverb. So no surprise that God the Father does exactly the same thing. As he gives so generously, what is it that he gives? Look at verse 13. How much more, says Jesus, will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So God the Father parents his children by giving us a guide, the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit's role is, you know this, don't you? The Spirit's role is just to point us towards Jesus, to see Jesus for who he really is, to make us trust Jesus all the more as we see who he is. And the Spirit shapes us to be more like Jesus every day. Which is, if you think about it, another way of saying exactly all the things that we saw the Apostle Paul say in Ephesians 3. We might say, putting them together, out of the riches of his glory, God the Father gives the Spirit to his children, so we learn to love his glorious work in Jesus more and more. And I hope you can see now that understanding what it means for God to be Father, for him to be our Father, has implications for every one of us that go way beyond just the fathers in the room or just our own relationships with our fathers, whatever they're like. To know and understand God as Father is to know that he gives gladly and gloriously and generously to guide us. Well, what does that mean for every one of us? Two very simple applications. The first is this. If God is the generous giver, then is it not natural that we should ask him? Ask God. How wonderful that God should be generous with the very best things. Paul reaches out for them with both hands. You can kind of sense it, can't you, in his prayer. I bow before God, the Father, the giver, he writes, to ask him to give. Jesus encourages us. He says, ask, seek, knock, and tells us we will get what we ask for. But we do need to understand what it is we're meant to be asking for. Both Jesus and his apostle are clear on what it is. It is not a Ferrari that God offers. You are clear on that. I hope you're clear. Well, maybe I'm not into Ferraris myself. Pick your own thing, right? Maybe a Jaguar, like something nice and British. Actually, no, the Germans bought them decades ago. What's your Ferrari? What is it? Is it the nice house? Is it the really spectacular job? Is it, dare I say it, the children who all behave themselves immaculately, especially in public where it counts? What's your Ferrari? No, no, God doesn't offer that. He offers something far better. The very best thing he has, he offers to us, Jesus. And when we ask, he gives us more of him. That is to say, more understanding of him, more love for him. He makes us more like him. Now, that isn't to say that there aren't other things that we ought to ask for. But it's interesting, isn't it? Think about this with me. It is interesting, isn't it, that when it comes to material things, the scripture never urges us to ask for God to give us more than our daily needs. Less Ferrari, more i10. But when it comes to the things of God, have you noticed this? The New Testament is full of examples of prayers to long to know Jesus more, to understand better all the wonderful things that God has done for us in him, and to become more like him. I am challenged that so often my prayers do not reflect that balance of priority. So when we share in our growth groups, what dominates our prayers? What is lacking? How does that compare to what God himself not only offers up to us, but promises to give if we would only just ask? Are we spending too much time asking for Ferraris and missing out because of it? Because one, God is not in the business of giving Ferraris. And secondly, he has far better to give if only we would ask. So let's ask. And let's also give like God. Now, fathers, let me talk to fathers directly. Fathers, what does this tell us? It tells us, doesn't it, that we do need to give generously to our children, like God the Father gives generously to us. And what does he do? He does not spoil us with tat that we don't actually need. But he is generous with important things. So yes, we provide for the needs of our children, but we give them the more precious gift of guiding them and raising them and, of course, pointing them to Jesus. What is the most precious thing you can give your child? Again, not a Ferrari. Please don't give your child's first car a Ferrari, by all, or any time. Give them Jesus. Point them to Jesus. Teach them to be wise. Teach them how to love others and to be generous. And if necessary, discipline too. We discipline too. We learned that, didn't we, a few weeks ago. Fathers discipline their children because they love them. This is what God our Father does with us. Let's be the same. And of course, this general principle can therefore be true for every one of us. whether we are a father or not. So church, as we look to our own Heavenly Father, we have a model for our own lives in all our relationships. And the model is to give like God the Father gives to us. Now, what does that look like? Well, as a minimum, it has to look better, doesn't it, than the man who grudgingly gets out of bed for his neighbor. That's your bare minimum bottom line. He gets out of bed, though. It strikes me, if I want to give like God, then I need to give what God gives. And ultimately, God gives of himself, doesn't he? That's true generosity, giving of ourselves. Remember Paul's prayer, more knowing the love of Christ. That's God giving of himself. What does Jesus tell us to ask for? More of the Spirit who points us to Jesus. That is asking God to give of himself. God the Father gives relationship with himself at cost to himself to bring us into family with him. And so that ought to mark our own membership of the same family. We give ourselves to each other. Can I ask, are you doing that? And I recognize for some of us, I am challenging you and I'm doing it deliberately. Are we doing this? Is my understanding of church not least, it's not the only way I view it, but is it not least of a family where we give of ourselves to each other? Or did I walk in this morning just looking to get? Let me be frank, because people who only get, they come and then they go again, don't they? Because they've got what they wanted to get, or at least they think they have it. But givers hang around. Because there's always another opportunity, isn't there, to give, and always people to give to, which is the heart of giving, isn't it? Always an opportunity. Morning tea, such a great opportunity to give of ourselves to each other. So we give of ourselves, we foster a relationship. And how should we be doing that? Well, I hope some of our conversation is about Jesus and God's great gift to us. What's the new exciting thing I've learned about Jesus this week? I know sometimes we feel a bit embarrassed. Can I just say, let's just stop feeling embarrassed about Jesus talk in church. Like if I walk into a car dealership and I talk about cars, no one's surprised. We ought not to be surprised when we talk to each other about Jesus. Or maybe all I want to talk about is Ferraris. No. I think we want to talk about Jesus. And there's always another opportunity. Morning tea is great. Before church is a great opportunity as well. Growth groups are weekend away. That is a fabulous time of giving of ourselves to other people. And receiving, of course, in return. Games night. I plan on giving on myself quite heartily at games night. Come and be part of that. There are all ways we give ourselves to each other in the same way that God our Father has given to us. Now look, friends, my own father wasn't perfect. I suspect my own children say the same of me. But they and he and I all know knows a heavenly Father who gives so generously that we might know Jesus better, live for him, and give ourselves to each other. Let's ask him now to do that in our lives, both individually and together, in this family that he has stuck us in, which gets its name from him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are a Father. Thank you that you are our Father, and that every family on earth derives its name and its nature from you. Thank you for being a good Father. Thank you for loving us and giving graciously, generously to guide us of yourself. Thank you for giving Jesus. And keep giving him so that we may know by your Spirit how to love him more and follow him more and encourage one another with him and live for him when it gets hard. And then finally, to joyfully see him again when he returns or we go to be with him. Father, as we look at the way that you give so richly of yourselves, teach us first to ask, like children asking a father they know that they can trust to give good things. Help us to ask you and to ask for the right things, for the best things that you have to give us, more of Jesus. And then help us, as we receive from you, to give of ourselves like you to each other, that in the discussions that we have, in the lives that we share, you would be giving through us more of Jesus to each other. And we pray all of this in Jesus' great name. Amen.